I am Stephen J. Manning. In this episode, I am tackling a truly challenging topic, emotional intelligence. Now, assuming I have even a pedestrian understanding of what that is, assuming that I do have some ordinary lay understanding of what emotional intelligence is, it is a topic I have been looking forward to getting into. To be entirely forthcoming, likely to take a hopefully intellectual wrecking ball to it, and then offer some genuine, real-world, actionable thoughts. Among the 15 or so expert talks, podcasts, and interviews I have done the past couple of weeks, I think this expert talk is as challenging as it is elegant, as it is visceral, as it is intellectual. Albeit, it might be a rather large load of pseudo-psych manure. Ouch, you say? Right. Certainly, I think it is a big ouch. With that on your and my imaginary teleprompter, I have one, I aim to forge ahead courageously and mightily to agree, harshly disagree, adapt, repudiate, chide, champion, reject all I have read and heard from too many talking heads about emotional intelligence. Best I stop this not yet exhaustive list before I run out of synonyms and antonyms and give myself an intellectual whiplash. Okay, not so fast, my faithful listeners. You know that more lists are coming as we get into definitions and all manner of formulaic telling much about emotional intelligence. Indulge me here. May I just call this EI? Thank you. No big deal wanted to coin that acronym. I blew the whole AI thing decades ago when we were creating exactly artificial intelligence. I was not slick enough to give it such a great name nor such a great acronym. And the more recently in fashion awesome acronyms of AI. So, EI it will be. I read that emotional intelligence is the ability to identify and manage one's own emotions, as well as the emotions of others. How about that, you fine people? You need to confess to yourself and to me. How many of you have said the following multiple times under many circumstances to, well, too many people? I can barely manage my own emotions, much less those of others. Right. No problem. The talking heads, coaches, mentors, or the guy next door, or at the gym, or the lady across the aisle who absolutely know everything. Do not despair. There are ways that you can, in fact, improve however you define emotional intelligence. To be more accurate, after you accept what are definitions I and others may firmly shove in your face. Now, no righteous expert talk is worth its weight in. Well, most of them are worth about as little as then just some tarnished pennies. Without copious definitions of both terms and the substance of the talk. As I am often compelled to do, while my mouth is forging ahead of my mind at turbo speed, I must digress with what is a prophetically critical observation, actually a painful reality. Some researchers suggest that emotional intelligence can be altered, cultivated, improved, and more, while others claim it is an inborn characteristic. Good luck with that. In other words, some of us are emotionally incorrigible from birth, while others can be self-correcting, and others are in fact coachable. Now, get focused on the mainly visceral nature of this matter. These behaviors are much more visceral than intellectual. Thus, as to the coachable part, I always wonder and warn about the old adage, tigers do not change their stripes. To be intellectually honest, Even Tiger strives dull with age. Now, don't despair if you believe or think. You do not have the emotional skill set to change, at least to reasonably improve your emotional intelligence. Now, listen to me here. You need two things to make these changes. First, the unwavering desire, most of the time, absolute need to do so. And two, the reasonable brain power to do so. If those two conditions are present, you are absolutely coachable. So there. I spent a bit of time reading about EI from many. Okay, I will confess, too many talking and writing heads, conventionally referred to as experts, consultants, coaches, and again, you get it, the dude across the street or at the gym or the lady next door who know everything. In the interest of full transparency, I did not really read that much, rather superficially parsed. I think that's a classic oxymoron, superficial and parsed. Moving on. I quit most specific about EI written as spoken pieces rather quickly. Found just about all of them absolutely unoriginal. Same stuff from different people. Over and over and over, ad nauseum. You know, I did not know ad nauseum, that term, has been around, used by writers and talkers for nearly 400 years. Now we both know that. I would love to find the first thinker, writer, talker who authored all those terms and shallow concepts to begin with, giving so many who follow stuff to copy and at best regurgitate. How unoriginal. You know, it brought to mind a tenured professor at one of our finest universities with whom I shared a podium talking with a large group of seasoned business people. That fool went on for half an hour expounding on the concept. Mind you, the concept of the sun rising in the east in the Western Hemisphere. No kidding. The good thing, well, the best thing, is that I did not beat him about the head thereafter. For a bit of immodesty, it was great to follow him. I would have been a hit even if I had talked about the efficacy of trimming the toenails of your pets or the mating habits of wallabies in the dead of winter in New Guinea, rather than some ordinary successes in business and business concepts, which is what I did talk about. Back to the meat of this. In addition to the reading boring me to tears, I found incredible amounts of circular definitions. You know, not much more elegant or relevant than, well, if you want to go to your left, you need to make a left turn. I wondered, am I reading an immense and entirely, at best useless if not destructive, body of word salads in the coaching, mentorship, and full leadership talking head industry? Perhaps not. Thus, I'm endeavoring here to distill all that down to relevant definitions, concepts, and do's and don'ts therefrom. At least, I'm going to make a yeoman's effort to do that. First, according to Daniel Goleman, I read he's a righteous mind analyst and mind bender with lots of credentials. Sure looks like a quality PhD to me. Emotional intelligence is the capacity to be aware of, control, and express one's emotions, and to handle interpersonal relationships judiciously and emphatically. And then all that with empathy. At least I think he wrote that. No matter. He did write, and I quote, "By teaching people to tune into their emotions with intelligence and to expand their circles of caring, we can transform organizations from the inside out and make a positive difference in our world." Oh boy. End quote. Good God, Daniel. The sound you heard when I read that was my dead brain cells hitting the ground. but he did offer good starting points to all that stuff. He listed his key elements to EI. Let's check those out. One, self-awareness. First, some experts want to teach you to recognize and be aware of your emotions and reactions therefrom. Then improve upon those. Then actually some of those experts want you to identify and even name your emotions. Really? You mean as when I got very upset, went way off the reservation angry with a Pakistani business associate who made an excellent effort to steal $1 million from one of our businesses, that stated his wish to drown me in a tablespoon of camel spit, I should have taken a deep breath, recognized, for real, his attempt at that little piece of fraud, then give it a name, perhaps something like Ralph, or Bob, or Mary Ellen, and with that, shape my emotional state of being. Nah, didn't work for me. Rather, we put his multi-million-dollar business out of business. I confess to that not mitigating my emotional intelligence. Rather, refocused my anger onto myself and to a limited extent my people for allowing us to get into that predicament. You know, actually, this blows my mind. Again, quoting a big-time expert, quote, identify and name your emotions. Once you are better able to recognize what you're feeling, you can then work on managing those feelings and using them to navigate social situations, end quote. Sorry, I think that is insipid when interpreted as written. One of my big issues with so much of the soft to the core of one's emotional being stuff is that it can, no, most likely lead to operational paralysis. To be clear, if you go down the rabbit hole of what am I feeling and then why am I feeling this, you may become operationally paralyzed. I mean stuck in inaction, quoting some more stuff that you will have shoved in your face. Quote, if you're self-aware, you understand your emotions and their triggers. I mean your responses to your emotional state of mind, and more importantly, when those go off the rails of, well, this is not good for you. You also know how your emotions and actions affect those around you. Oh, bad. Well, that might be motherhood and apple pie, a fantastic Americanism, for that expert, but not for most of us, way, sorry for this, way self-aware for the rest of us. What exactly do I do with this? How do I gauge my self-awareness if I actually know what it is? And how do I become appropriately self-aware for my benefit and to others around me? Best I'm going to offer here is get yourself into rooms with successful people, rooms for real or virtual, even the old-fashioned ways. Imagine this by telephone or sit down in a coffee shop. I don't mean a room with shrinks and psychologists, although I respect some of those. I appreciate their work. Your goal is to become more successful in your personal and business life, not to put other people's children to private school. So, really successful people often, but not all the time, are passively self-aware. By and large, they know who they are and what they are. And then some even know what they represent. That's a big deal. More on all that when you read my new book, The Business of Life, Taking a Wrecking Ball to Conventions and Norms in Search of Independent Thought. That's coming soon. Drop me a note and we will let you know when it is published. Back to people who can and should be really influential and can absolutely alter your self-awareness for the better. Find those people. Ask for their knowledge, their experience, and most importantly, their wisdom therefrom. You will be shocked how willing the best of the best, the top people around the world, are willing to share. The quid pro quo from you is often nothing more than sincere thanks. For much more on that, listen to my Pillars of Success. Now, hear this loud and clear. Toughen up. If you know you're upsetting people or situations around you, all or any situations, including business and personal, associated with whatever you are into or encounter in any way, ask the offended party why. Trust that they will be more than glad to dish out some punishment. That is a good thing. Your opportunity to learn and improve, become more self-aware. How about those who dish out lessons and punishment? Here is a great and useful thing for you to learn. They will feel really proud to have taught you a lesson. Right. But you benefited more. And the big kahuna? They will welcome you to come back for more. That is what ordinary scribes call a win-win. Now, for the ever-present, however, beware of self-important talking heads who lack the humility to relate to you. They should pay you for the workout they are going to get from you. Moving on. Number two, self-regulation. Kind of quoting again, quote, "This is the ability to control your emotions and impulses. It also involves adapting to changing circumstances," end quote. Well, on this cream puff of a topic, I'm inclined to be redundant with stuff I talked about before. Suffice it to say that controlling one's emotions and impulses is a massive concept, and even a bigger undertaking, one that requires lifetimes of effort for most of us. When we talk next, well, I hope that we do in a more intimate setting, perhaps in a live environment, an online seminar, or something like that, we can talk about some mechanism I have developed to control emotions and impulses when engaging in various direct encounters. You know, group meetings, negotiations, leadership. Humbly, those tools are enormously powerful. Among those is the art and practice of developing your convenient alter ego and controlling that. Those tools have been used by some who are willing and able to learn and use them with amazing benefits. In the meantime, I encourage you to read up on my essay and talk on Leadership Homogenized. Also, check out my expert talks, The Success Decision-Making Sausage. Next, Art the Janitor. That is on leveraging competencies, yours, your businesses, your people. And finally, Nothing Happens Until You Sell Something. There's more. Number three, motivation. This is the ability to use your emotions to achieve your goals. Now, rather than erudite lecturing or whatever else I can do, I may blow a minor gasket. Surely you jest, my most observant and embarrassingly smarter than me wife would say. Emotions driving my motivation? How about emotions that do not drive motivation? Unless you're intellectually and or emotionally inert, meaning you feel little or nothing, or you are just in a flow of things in life and business, just content for all you do to be mediocre. Unless you're okay with rushing headfirst into obscurity, all your emotions are motivation drivers. Lots of that in the aforementioned and other talks. Now for the mind-bending truth. One way or another, you will figure out some of and some more about your emotions. Hope and pray that in that absurdly troubling journey, that emotional journey, you will find the emotions that are abject handicaps to you. In all important aspects of your life, those are there. When you do, figure out who your first email or telephone call will be to. If you do, and do that wisely, well, sorry you're listening to me about this, you will begin your emotional mending trip. and all the good stuff that follows that. Good friend and frequent collaborator of mine, Nathaniel Schooler, in one of his expert talks, went on and on about the need to practice active listening. Now, there's a must. What the heck do those elegant couple of words mean? Let me boil that down to my understanding. Listen intently to the right people. The right part is my contribution. Absorb all that and do not do what 90% of people do. Work on interrupting rebuttals, thoughts, objections, and often poor wisdom. So there. How's that for simplicity with a really big concept? Moving on to number 4. Empathy. This is the ability to understand the emotions of others. Let me share a concept from my expert talk. Nothing happens until you sell something. Just a comment. If you do not listen to that one, that is your loss, a big loss. That is a topic I'm asked to talk about, well, humbly, by publishers of the biggest and most relevant publications out there, and a truckload of clients who ask for my advice on, well, a lot of things. Some of those names you will know, might even work for one. Here it goes. What is the most dangerous thing about an automobile? Thousands of pounds of screaming metal flying down the road? Hundreds of mindless horsepower? Brakes or tires that may break or fail? Bad roads? The weather? No. It is the nut behind the wheel. To deal with that nut, to avoid catastrophic collision, you must know his needs, wants, state of mind, all that to the best of your ability to determine. In contest, you will get that if you ask enough questions and listen to responses and everything else that nut may volunteer. Back to the meat of this, you need to understand, you need to learn the emotions of others. However, my fellow scribes and experts, not possible without the ever-present Manning imperative. How much homework must you do? However much you do, it will be insufficient. And, of course, you are not likely to ever become a quality shrink or mind reader in the process. But have to get all you can about and from the nut behind the wheel and deal with him accordingly. By the way, in my book, the nut is a person or people or situations or any other engagement with whatever that challenges you emotionally, whatever that is. Number 5, social skills. This is the ability to communicate effectively with others, resolve conflicts, and build relationships. Seriously? Next, the same experts will tell us that the sun will rise in the east in the Western Hemisphere. No, thank you. Now, if you happen to be driving while listening to this, please fasten your seatbelt tightly. Here are some examples of emotional intelligence I grabbed from others, here, there, everywhere. No need to take notes. An ability to identify and describe what people are feeling. An awareness of people's strengths and limitations. Self-confidence and self-acceptance. The ability to let go of mistakes. An ability to accept and embrace change. A strong sense of curiosity, particularly about other people. Feelings of empathy and concern for others. Showing sensitivity to the feelings of other people. Having difficult conversations without hurting others' feelings. Managing your emotions when feeling stressed or overwhelmed. Improving relationships with others. Resolving conflict. Coaching and motivating others. Creating a collaborative environment. All right, enough of all of that. Whatever all those are, well, I will give you my assessment in a minute. I hope they do not cause you at best a headache. At worst, severe pain to your neck from shaking your head. Impacting all thoughts and concepts are related to you. All those from others, not my own critique or whatever. There are dysphorias of all kinds, intellectual fluidity, leading to situational ethics, religions, belief systems, and so many, many more haughty concepts that impact all those. Okay, I have to stop here now. I must mind my own intellectual and emotional intelligence. Interpret that as I'm approaching intellectual paralysis, leading to having to mind my severe nausea, having regurgitated that list. Thank you for listening. Please know that I offer all this with my best wishes to you for your success in life and business. Again, I'm Stephen J. Manning. You can listen to more of my talks, also the podcasts, everywhere on the internet. You can read about my writing at stephenjmanning.com, stephenj.manning.com, as well as published columns and essays posted there. You can parse information about my agency work at fymc.com, frankyankeemarycharlie.com. Please give a look at our clients tab for some of the fine enterprises in my portfolio of clients. There are a number of Fortune 50 companies, including a Fortune 10 client, who are not listed. They prefer to not make public the names of their principal advisors. Feel free to reach out by email, sjmanning@fymc.com. sjmanning@fymc.com. Make my pillars of success yours.